From the Midas Roseburg Studio, KQEN weather looks nice. Sunny with a high of 63, the overnight low of 39 with increasing clouds, sunny and 64 tomorrow. Currently 54 and sunny. KQEN News Time, 12:36.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Between COVID-19, the economic implications, those have both been weighing heavy on the minds of folks today, and so we wanted to turn to one of our national experts, our go-to economist, Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, who we've talked to many times over the years, and I appreciate him spending some time with us today. And I will just say at the front end, we mentioned, I think the last time that we talked, that you'd moved from Washington, D.C., where you'd been for many years, to the Florida beaches. Elliot actually just texted me a picture of his beach view. And I am now checking on travel reservations once that's possible again. So, Elliot, yeah. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
My pleasure, absolutely.
So, I mean,
delightful.
Yeah, it has been. Well, it may be delightful to be talking with you, but people are very nervous at this time. You've been watching the market all week.
Yeah, it's been 1,000 points up and down every day, mostly down. People are nervous. And the longer this lasts, the worse it will be. Hopefully we can get our hands around this and begin to see some numbers improving. In Italy, they're beginning to improve. The number of cases per day is still getting worse, but in percentage terms, it's getting better. So we'll get there. We just have to have some faith, and the federal government's got to come through.
And let's talk about that. There's a lot of back and forth between both sides of the aisle. It seems like the public health folks that I've talked to saw this coming back in January. It seems like for a lot of people, I think they were expecting a blip on the radar, and this is certainly anything but.
Right. There was general underappreciation of the severity of this. And once it escaped China, then the public health officials knew this was going to go bad. And the politicians, unfortunately, were asleep at the wheel and remained to some extent still just in a fog.
So talk about the market. I mean, we have seen, I don't remember such a volatile, maybe 10-day period as we've experienced lately. Some days you start way up, you end up way down, and vice versa.
Well, it's good you don't remember them because they haven't happened before, Kyle. So your memory is not playing tricks. I read something, this is the most volatile market ever, and the second place was the late 20s.
Uh-oh.
You know, October, November of 29 was the last time we had days bouncing up and down this much percentage of the stock market value. So we're in unprecedented territory. And the problem is investors, like the professional investors, we're all flying blind. We have no idea what will be. Oh, we see a stimulus package. Oh, we're happy. Oh, deaths are up. That's bad. Oh, we see Darden restaurants laying off, 80% of their workers, or hotel occupancy at 10%, or Delta laying off 2/3 of their planes, putting them in a boneyard or something. It's really scary. And we need leadership from D.C. We need leadership from Congress. We need the healthcare industry to have the facilities and material and tools and testing kits and so on. If we had that, we'd feel a lot better. We'd know that we're on our way. We'd know that things are going to get better. We'd have no idea where we are in the process, how much longer it will take until it gets better. And with no data, the stock market's just bouncing around on feeling and trend and just, oh, well, someone else sells, well, I'll sell too. Or they're buying, I'll buy too. But there's nothing really underlying anything here except panic, fear, stress.
We saw the biggest down day on the market. Then after the weekend, the biggest up day on the market. And it has been very interesting. I have actually, and I don't normally do this, I have not looked at the portion of my investments that I could look at numbers online. I just decided purposely not to look at them all week.
That's a very mature decision. I tell everybody I know the same thing. I'm an economist, and I don't want to look at my own finances. It will scare me. It will depress me. It will do no good. I can't give financial advice, obviously, but I can tell you what I'm doing. And you just sit tight and you wait. This notion of, oh, I should have sold last week or 2 weeks ago, I'd be so much richer now, to some extent is obviously true, because hindsight's always 20/20. But you also have to know when to get back in the market. And if you miss that call, making the right first call doesn't do you a lot of good. And there's no research out there telling you how to beat the market. And as such, stick with your plan. It's all you can do. And as you say, don't look at your statements, because it's not going to make you a more charitable person.
And of course, there are folks that after that biggest down day were immediately liquidating and selling at a low price. That means they were guaranteed to lose. And then that was obvious later up the road when the numbers had gone back up. So for all of the concerns that Americans have, especially folks that are middle-aged and up and are looking at retirement in the next 10, 15 years, something like that, there's a lot of concern. But let's talk about some of the other aspects of the economy as well. We've seen things that I don't recall ever seeing in a very long time. For instance, the big three automakers shutting down, Tesla talking about retooling to make some kind of masks, I believe is what I heard. I mean, there's a lot of parts of the business community that are making very quick moves.
And there's some extent out of desperation. I heard Carnival Lines or one of those or several of those cruise lines offering to house people who have to be quarantined or whatever. Hotels are offering the same thing. I mean, these companies are desperate for cash flow. These ships don't sail. They're not making money. Hotels are a capital-intensive business. You've got a lot of businesses that are going to start to teeter if things don't improve or if the government doesn't get involved and say, okay, we're going to bail you out. And the government has to bail them out. They've got no choice. This isn't a case of we overextended ourselves. This is something coming from left field that's completely whacked us. Airlines can't just start up de novo if they shut down. This is a very expensive and time-consuming process, and we need the airlines to operate and run. So we're going to have to give them some money. We have no choice. And we need to give consumers money as well. We need to give people who are losing their jobs money, and money quickly. They have to know that they shouldn't have to wait 2 or 3 or 4 weeks to get unemployment insurance, depending on which state they live in and the rules and so on. We have to get people to spend money, get people to know they're not going to get kicked out of their apartment. They're not going to fall behind on their mortgage. Fannie and Freddie are giving people 30 or 60 days. I don't know exactly the rules here, but they're trying to work with borrowers so that we don't have, literally, a health crisis leading to a financial crisis, leading to an economic crisis. We have to short circuit that process by giving people money and instilling confidence in them and convincing the population that this problem, if we attack it carefully like we are now, will, in relatively short order, a month and a half, largely go away.
And it was just a week ago that we had a story on with the new unemployment rates for Oregon, 3.3%, 2 months in a row, lowest in 44 years that comparative records have been available. U.S. unemployment rate was 3.5%. And now I'm hearing 20% unemployment possible in the short term?
It's possible. So last week we had the largest rise in unemployment in, I don't know, 40 years or something. It went from 200 to 280,000, a 40% increase. This coming week it will go from 280,000 to quite possibly a million. It will be a 300 or 400% increase. At the worst of the recession, 2008-09, it was 700,000. So we will surely surpass that this week, because all these hotels, restaurants, casinos, they're all laying off their workers. And if this goes on for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks and a million a week, unemployment will double from 5 to 10%. So that's almost a guaranteed situation. The key thing is to keep it no higher than that. And moreover, to get it down as quickly as we possibly can. And in the meantime, to keep consumer spending up at a reasonable level.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Coming to us from the beaches of Florida, Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, noted national economist. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. A 1 minute break and then back on Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, national economist, with us this afternoon. I imagine for somebody who has so many folks that you've spoken to around the country, know so many people in all areas, all sectors of the business community, that probably your phone and your email has been blowing up all week with people asking you, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can hear it in my voice. I'm nervous. I'm certainly scared a little bit, but I'm also, the data shows pretty clearly that you go 40, 45 days out from the beginning of seriously attacking the problem, and the problem begins to go away. So, and it can get pretty bad and hairy in the interim, and we're just beginning to get into that very bad phase. So it will get worse. There's no question. And the key thing is for people to understand this. There's a pattern to this process. You know, it increases geometrically, but it cannot increase geometrically forever, because eventually everybody around you has opportunity to get the virus. Think back to those ships that traveled and were quarantined off the coast. Those ships, only 20% of the people in the worst cases ended up with the flu. That means the other 80 either got it and had no symptoms, or never got it because they had some kind of immunity towards it. So these processes burn themselves out. We don't want it to get there. We don't want a mass number of older people dying, God forbid. But this is not a process that goes on. It stops. It really does. And I'd like to hear public officials telling us this repeatedly. It's going to get worse for 10 or 20 or 30 days, and then it starts to get better.
And for Oregon, now under the groups of less than 25 for meetings, that's meant that restaurants and bars have switched to takeout or are in the process of doing that. Some stores have shuttered in the short term, others running reduced hours. And then, of course, last weekend we saw a big run as folks panicked a bit and were going after toilet paper and all kinds of things in mass quantities. That's what we saw here. What did you see in Florida?
It's the same thing. Shelves are empty. Meat sections empty, milk sections empty, canned goods, beans, tuna fish, all the things you would expect if you're going to have to stay in your house for 3 weeks. The thing is, you buy, and I'm actually a big fan of buying Doritos, because after the storm is over, you still have some really good Doritos to eat. It'll be kind of fun. It's unlikely you're going to go to the bathroom much more after this is over. I don't see a relief rally in toilet paper happening. So, but we'll get through it, but everyone's nervous. The unknown is the biggest problem. Well, and we don't know.
And I think one of the things this maybe points out is for a lot of the business community, after the recession in 08, 09, et cetera, during that time, it was pointed out that people did very little saving. And then we kind of had a shift after that. People started saving more. Businesses started saving more and all of that. It seems like, though I haven't looked at data, it seems like maybe a lot of people's lives, both personal and their business, are running on very thin margins. And something like this, only week and a half in, already are causing a serious issue because they didn't have savings or they didn't have a plan B.
You've hit it on the head. That's exactly right. Sure, the national savings rates have gone up, and they're in the upper sevens, which is unusually high, and it's to some extent a response to the Great Recession of 08, 09. But that's being pushed higher by the wealthy. We saw after the Trump tax cut, savings rates went up, so clearly it was the rich that were driving it. But the Federal Reserve always frequently asks the question about, if you had a $400 emergency expenditure, how would you cover it? And roughly a third of Americans don't have that money on hand. They have to borrow it or hawk something or borrow it from a friend or something. So if you go a week or two or three or four without a paycheck, this becomes a very serious problem. This is more than $400. Now we're talking maybe $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000, depending on the size of your family, where you live, and so on. So that's the problem. Firms won't survive the month or two. Households won't be able to get by the month or two because so many live hand to mouth. And that's why the central bank is cutting rates and making credit available, and the Congress is going to send us checks and do other things to subsidize industries, small corps, small businesses, big businesses, whatever. We have to get through this period.
When the Fed did that Sunday night, I believe it was, rate cut, they were hoping to provide a sort of a positive framework for the market to begin the next day and for people to have some confidence. But it seems like that backfired.
It wasn't enough, let's put it that way. I don't think it backfired. It was the appropriate behavior or response on the Fed's part, but the Fed had to do more, and the Fed has done more, way more. They've opened up an unlimited supply of repo, which means that any bank can come with good collateral and get cash, because everybody wants cash. The central bank's job now is to provide cash to anybody who wants it for collateral. And they're making this available also to foreign central banks, because the urge to hold U.S. cash is incredibly strong. So you see treasuries, foreign countries' treasuries going bad because they want to get rid of their currency and buy U.S. dollars because it's the safest currency in this mass mayhem that we're going through.
I was thinking about the long term when you have all these, the bailouts, the stimulus packages, all of that. We got to pay for all this somewhere down the road. And yet it seems like there's a catch 22, as you're saying, it needs to be done. But then how do we pay for it later?
That's a good question. Part of the reason even U.S. Treasury rates are generally rising is because we know there's this huge amount of new bonds and $1 trillion of new bonds that are going to hit the market here, and then, $100 billion in Canada and Britain and Germany and Japan and so on. So the world's going to be flooded with new issues of bonds. So, but to your point specifically, this will raise the debt this year from $1 trillion to about $2 trillion, or 10% of GDP. China's will also be 10 or 12% of GDP. And this will add to the total debt. Will go from, $19 trillion to $20 trillion or whatever it is. Luckily, interest rates are incredibly low. So the service cost, the debt service cost on this are as low for the U.S. As a percent of GDP. They're as low as they've ever been, despite the fact that the debt's skyrocketing. As long as rates don't go up and GDP grows even at 2%, we'll be okay for the foreseeable future. And hopefully eventually we get a handle on this and raise taxes or cut benefits or something. But this low interest rate has given us a path for the foreseeable future on the economic, what we would have expected would be very negative economic consequences. There aren't any. We get a free pass here for a while.
And for some who have been shuttered from their job or had hours cut right now, especially in the service industry, the hope is after a few weeks, however long this takes, places reopen and all of that, but some probably won't reopen. Again, talking about their ability to be ready for things like this. And some folks, may start looking around and wondering, is the grass greener living somewhere else, or is there a better place to go? But it seems like everywhere that I'm hearing about is getting hit hard by this.
They are. Everyone is getting hard hit by it. There's no question. No sector. Construction work is getting hammered. Service industry is getting hit. Manufacturers are getting hit. Everyone's getting hit, right? And the other thing this is going to cause is some behavioral change down the road. There'll be a generation of people growing up who are now 20, 15. They will remember this the rest of their life. And we may change how we work going forward. People are working from home. It's working, or it's working as well as it's working. The argument that we can't work from home has been demolished completely in many cases. So this is going to have some permanent effect. I'm not sure what exactly, but there's always a permanent effect of some kind from every sort of calamity and viruses and these sorts of things. So we'll see how this affects restaurants and takeout orders and Uber Eats and so on. But back to your point, everyone's getting hit on this one. Everybody. State government's going to get hit. They have to spend more money on health care, and sales tax revenue is declining, let alone other sources of revenue. But sales taxes are certainly collapsing.
What about the real estate? How is it going to be impacted by this situation?
It depends on what you're looking at. So at the low end, entry-level homes, that's probably going to be being adversely affected by people who are afraid they're going to lose their job. I mean, you're a waiter and your husband's a waitress or a bartender or whatever it is, and you lose your job, that's problematic. At the high end, they're not afraid of losing their job. They want to buy a $30 million house. I mean, it's not that many people, but nonetheless, they all live in Aspen in Manhattan or San Diego or something. But they're going to use some wealth from the stock market or bond market to help pay for that. And suddenly they're going to be much more reluctant. The key thing is we got to get over this quickly. If it lasts a long time, in the short run, I don't think it affects house prices. It affects volume of sales. But if the longer it stretches, then it begins to hit house prices too.
About a minute left. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg with us. Final thoughts on this situation.
hey, you know, the data is pretty clear. As I've stressed before, it's a 40 or 45 day process till you really see new cases really start to drop off dramatically. We should see it. The key thing is for all of us to wash our hands, elbow bump, and follow all the rules and everything the CDC says. Don't hang out with friends. Don't go to parties. Shelter in place. It's the single best thing we can do to get rid of this thing.
If people want to get connected with your daily email and things like that, how do they do it?
Thank you for asking. My website is econ70.com, econ70.com. Just go there and you can get all my comments and sign up for my daily 70-word email blast. I look forward to hearing from you.
All right, Dr. Elliot Eisenberg on Inside Douglas County. Elliot, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Kyle. My pleasure.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.